Gray wolves in Michigan are considered an endangered species. Under federal law, they can only be killed if they pose a risk to humans, which is the justification state officials have used for shooting wolves in the Upper Peninsula.
You have wolves showing up in backyards, wolves showing up on porches, wolves staring at people through their sliding glass doors while they're pounding on it, exhibiting no fear.
That was Department of Natural Resources fur bearer specialist Adam Bump talking to Michigan Radio's Steve Carmody in May 2013. But it turns out many of the stories used to illustrate the danger wolves pose to humans weren't true. Adam Bump later appeared right here on Stateside to recant his original comments and tell us that he was thinking of an incident that he had read involving mountain lions in Colorado. The DNR chalked up the mistakes to miscommunication within the department. But a new investigation published in Bridge Magazine finds emails between DNR officials paint a very different picture of what was driving the DNR's wolf killings. Here now to explain is the reporter of the piece, John Barnes, is with us. John, we just heard one of the stories that you explore in your piece. Remind us of some of the other stories circulating at the time about wolves coming into contact with humans in the Upper Peninsula.
Well, you know, in those years back around 2012, 2011, before Michigan's first wolf hunt, there were a lot of scare stories. And there was a lot of talk about depredation of wildlife and people being afraid of wolves. In a couple of occasions, those turned out to be myths promoted by state lawmakers and DNR officials. The incident that we just heard about from Adam was he was talking about whether wolves had gathered on the back porch of a home where people were pounding on windows. About that same time, the DNR pressed a resolution to Congress saying that wolves had gathered into the yard of a daycare center while children were outside playing. And that turned out to be completely false as well.
Your piece centers around one farm in particular, the Dykstra Farm. Tell us about that farm and how it was being affected by wolves.
Tom Dykstra is a West Michigan farmer. He has a farm in the Zeeland area, and he also owns about 2,000 acres in the Upper Peninsula on the far western end near Ontonagon. He has had wolf problems for years. Tom now has had the most wolf-related depredations of any farmer in the state of Michigan, at least since 2012, when the state began reimbursing farmers for livestock losses due to wolves and coyotes. In one year in particular, 35 cattle were either killed or reported missing from Tom's farm. That set up the incidents and actions that we talk about in the Bridge story this past Friday.
Yes. In fact, there was an account from a DNR wildlife technician in 2016 in which he supposedly said he saw a wolf brazenly attack a calf on the Dykstra farm. How was that story used by DNR officials to justify killing three wolves?
Yes. Well, he was in the field and that he had witnessed it. That never happened. That was what the DNR stated in bold and underline in its petition to the federal government to have these wolves killed. The DNR now says it had a misunderstanding with their staff members and that the incident never did occur. Problem was, the federal government never knew that that was a misstatement or a false statement. And it is that statement they based their decision on killing those wolves, at least part of that decision.
And these wolves were costing both Dykstra Farm and the state money, weren't they?
They were. You couldn't have picked a worse farm, I think, for wolves to depredate. Tom Dykstra's cattle are more expensive than most other cattle, at least to the state. The state will reimburse, as we said, for these animals. But Tom has a Kraft beef that he markets. He feeds it tart cherries and leftover beer barley. He fattens them on that, and it is that distinctive taste that he says creates his Michigan Kraft beef that is more expensive than others. The state agreed to pay him three times as much as they had been, and they agreed to shoot the wolves within weeks.
John, as you tell us, the story wasn't true. How did you find this out? What actually happened?
It took quite a while. In my dealings with the DNR, when I was asking them, after I'd heard about these killings, initially they withheld the fact that they knew before the shootings that that account was not true. At least a couple employees did. And it was one of those employees who reminded them after I began investigating that the account of the attack in the field did not occur.
So what really happened? Nothing?
You know, one of the DNR field technicians was at the farm. He had been there earlier in the day, and there had been a calf killed that they found earlier that morning. The DNR technician came back about 3 hours later, provided some batteries to help with flashing lights to scare away wolves, and a motorist drove by and said, there is a wolf chasing cattle in your field. At that time, Brad Johnson, the technician, drove 3/4 of a mile, drove into the field, saw a cow and wolf staring at each other. There are a number of accounts of what happened there. Mm-hmm. And he honked his horn and the wolf fled. There was no attack. There was no calf killed before his eyes. That just was not true.
So this claim was made in 2016, as we've mentioned. So tell us, John, why did it take so long for this information to come out?
A number of reasons, but the DNR, one of the findings of our story is the Department of Natural Resources used Michigan's very weak public records laws to cover up what happened at the Dykstra farm. When a local activist filed asked about rumors about cattle being killed, they would not respond to her questions and ultimately told her that she would have to file a formal request. When she did, they took perhaps 2 months to return, and it was full of black redactions throughout the report, removing names, locations, and any other idea of identifying details on just what farms were being having trouble with wolves.
And it's clear from your story that had not been the case in the past. The state had worked with this activist. She had worked with the state.
Well, yes, Nancy Warren is, perhaps the hero of this story. She has been a active volunteer in many efforts regarding the preservation of wolves, and actually sat on Michigan's Wolf Roundtable with many of the same people who have been misleading her now. She is, at least it's her lawsuit that ultimately got me involved in the story.
To be fair, we should mention, as does your piece in Bridge, some have acknowledged and apologized for retelling fabricated stories, including then-State Senator Tom Casperson. I'm interested in how have today's DNR officials responded to your reporting and your latest discoveries?
Crickets since the story published on Friday. I have not heard from them. The reaction early on was, I will point out that we had one interview where it is now known that Russ Mason, the wildlife chief, was aware of the shootings and that the federal government had been misled. In an interview I requested to talk about those cattle attacks, at no point did he mention anything about the false tale to the federal wildlife folks, the fact that the wolves were killed under false pretenses, and that the state was going to keep that to themselves.
Besides the presence of wolves in the Upper Peninsula being a very hot political topic, which most of us already have very well gathered from the wolf hump debate, what's the main thing you hope that people will take away from your very, very deep dive on this?
I think people should look very closely at whether the public information laws in Michigan are working for them. In this case, I think it raises many questions about whether the use of it is often in good faith with the people who request. Also, wolves are a controversial topic. the spectrum is gray all the way across it, and people tend to line up at both ends of that spectrum. So it becomes a very emotional issue, and that makes it also a very political issue.
In our last minute, Doug, just give us a sense. Do we know how many wolves remain in that pack in Ontonagon near that Dykstra farm?
Well, there will be another count this year by the state to see how many wolves we have in Michigan. That's done every 2 years. The pack at the time of the shootings was about average. DNR believes it had 6 members. That's even just a tiny bit large. They shot 3 of those. A 4th wolf was killed by a car a short time afterwards, and that is not uncommon when packs are disrupted.
John Barnes, you'll find his reporting this story by going to bridgemi.com. John Barnes, we want to thank you so very much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you for having me back.